Ramban Parshas Lech Lecha. So the Parsha begins with Hashem telling Avram to go to Eretz Yisrael, Lech Lecha L'Artzecha, and I'll make you a great nation there, and I'll make you, and whoever blesses you, I'll bless, whoever curses you, will curse. So Ramban just starts with the general obvious question of why didn't the Torah explain anything? It just starts off without telling you that, you know, by Noach it says, Noach is tzaddik. How about who's Avram? Just Hashem tells Avram, go, and I'll bless you. And like, why? Who's Avram? What'd he do? Why is he getting Eretz Yisrael? What's exciting about Eretz Yisrael? Why? What happened with him? We don't see anything in the Torah about any reason that Hashem should be talking to him or giving him Eretz Yisrael and giving him all this bracha without saying, because you served Hashem or because you will serve Hashem. Nothing. Just, hello, Avram, go to Eretz Yisrael, and you'll get tons of brachas. Why is that? Why is there no explanation here? So the Ramban explains that the story that the Torah did not want to talk about is the story we all know about how he used to live in Ur-Kasdim and he tried to teach people to serve God and they threw him in a fiery furnace and they tried to arrest him and kill him and kick him out of there and he was downtrodden. He said the Torah not respected there, whatever. They tried to either kill him or kick him out. So the Ramban says the Torah doesn't like talking about the Ovdei Avodah Zarah and their theories and, discussing how people disagreed about Emunah. It's not going to want to talk about that. So we know that from Torah Shabbat. But what happened? Torah didn't describe, because obviously Avram must have done something good, but doesn't want to talk about it. So the reason Hashem told him to leave where he was is because where he was trying to tell people to serve God and believe in God, and they said, I think what he's trying to say, basically they said, they don't believe in God, or they believe in Avodah Zarah. Torah doesn't want to discuss that, but he was trying to get them to serve Hashem. It was not working, so he had to leave, and he went to Haran. Haran's not good enough, so Hashem said, no, I want you to continue going on to Eretz Yisrael like your original plan was, and there is a holy place. There you will be Matzliach and spreading the word of Hashem, and if you're worried that something should happen to you like what happened with Nimrod and Ur-Kasdim, don't worry. Whoever blesses you will be blessed. Whoever curses you will be cursed. In other words, you'll be protected. So we know from Torah Shabbat Peh, the background, he was telling him to go to Eretz Yisrael because of his tzaras where he was, and that he'd be successful in spreading the name of God in Israel, and anybody who tried to stop him would be stopped, and anybody who would help him would be helped. But that's what's going on here, but didn't want to tell it to you because they wanted to discuss the fight he had with Emunah, with the other people there. Okay. Then we have the story of him coming to Shechem, and the Ramban here tells us a yesod in all the learning of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that you have to understand there is a concept called Ma'ase Avosim L'Banim, and much of what Avraham does or is told to do, and the same with Yitzchak and Yaakov, is very important, even little things that don't seem important. So when it talks about, like by Yitzchak, the famous digging of the wells, or stories about where Avram went and who worked for him, all these things are not insignificant. The reason they're written in the Torah is because they were all a simin labanim. It was like an act that's like a precursor. It's like the seed that grows out in the future. Whatever would happen to Avram will happen to the kids, or to Klal Yisrael later on. So therefore, things he does he's commanded to do certain things, which don't seem like necessarily a big deal, but they're important because they're a ma'aseh avosim l'banim. And then the Ramban goes on to explain, like in a little in more detail, that the concept of ma'aseh avosim l'banim, that when a Navi says something, and then they do, and then something is done in the physical world as a symbol to it, it will for sure happen. That's for good or for bad. In other words, just to explained the Ran and Drosh HaSaran says that when a Navi says something, or Hashem, in other words, if Hashem says something via a Navi, whatever it is, but if Hashem says something, if a Navua, that will happen. So if it's good, it will for sure happen. And if it's a negative, like something bad will happen, then it won't necessarily happen. In other words, if the person does true, it won't necessarily happen. That if Hashem says Navua for good, it will for sure happen. And the reason why that is, again, this is A little side point. This is not Ramban. This is Ran. But anyway, just as an explanation. So the Ran, Joseph Ran says, the reason why when a Navi says something good will happen, it will for sure happen, is because there has to be something to test the Navi with, right? How do you know who's a good Navi? So the Torah says, if he says something will happen, and it happens, then you know he's a real Navi. If it doesn't happen, then he's false. Oh, maybe the guy did tshuva, or maybe whatever. So there has to be something that we know, guaranteed, no matter what's going to happen. So therefore, Hashem made it, that when a Navi says something, and it's positive from Hashem, then it's for sure going to happen. But the Ran says that's only because we had that issue, that we have to have a way to know who's a good Navi or not, who's a true Navi or not. But in the times of the Avos, they weren't trying to, it wasn't that kind of thing. They had to convince Klal Yisrael of what a halacha was. So that was just regular Navuah. So in the terms of regular Navuah, so both good and bad can be changed. In other words, if a person does Averos, so then their good Nevuah could go away. If a person does mitzvos or does tshuva, their bad Nevuah could go away. So the exception is this. If a Nevuah is told, plus someone does a symbolic action about that Nevuah, then it will for sure happen. So Rabban him here brings many examples in Nach, where the Navi would say to the, let's say, Elisha would say to the king, go shoot an arrow, and he would shoot an arrow and said, this is to show that you will conquer Aram. Like, what is the point of the shooting of the arrow in the symbolic act? It's this idea. When a Navi has a Nevuah, plus a physical act is done that's like a symbol to that Nevuah, then it's for sure going to happen. So that's the concept of Maisei Avos and Labanim, that what would happen when the Avos did action, so then it makes it that it will for sure happen. So Hashem tells Avram, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael, now go walk around the borders. That makes it that it's for sure going to happen. And the order of where Avram went is also like the where Klal Yisrael conquered first. So they first conquered, the first had Shechem, and then Ai, and then Vayelach Avram v'aloch v'naso ha-negba, it was the south. So Yehuda, that was the first area that was conquered. And continuing in the Maisei Avos and Labanim, we have Avram going down to Mitzrayim because of a famine. And he goes down because of a famine, and they take his wife, and they eventually let him out with a lot of money. So that was a Maisei Avos and Labanim to his kids, who would go down to Mitzrayim because of a famine and get stuck there, and then they would do bad to them. And where's the woman thing? He says, V'chol habas techayun was apparently for that reason. They killed the boys, but they left the girls alive so that they could use them for iznus, apparently. That's, or marriage, whatever. It was for that reason, which I don't think I'd ever heard that before, but or whatever, I don't remember it. But that's, Chol Habas Techayun was for that reason, he's saying. Just like they took Sarah, so they let Chol Habas Techayun to take their wife, their daughters. Anyway, then they get let out with Rechush Gadol. Okay. Now, the Ramban here has a big, chiddush here about what Avram did. Avram saying that Sarah was his sister, the Ramban says was a sin. He says, "Daki Avram avinu chata chait gadol b'shkaga." This was a mistake, but it was a chait, a big chait, that he let his wife have this happen to her by saying it was his sister. And he should have trusted in Hashem that he would save him and his wife. Furthermore, him leaving Israel to go to Mitzrayim because of the famine, also he says was a chait, because Hashem told him to go to Israel. So that's why he was punished, that his children would go into Golus in Mitzrayim and have that thing happen with the wives. This was all a punishment for that. So the whole thing that we know from Rashi about Bama'ida ki Roshana, that was the big sin, and why his kids would go into Galus for 400 years, Ramban saying this is the sin, that he went down to Mitzrayim Bechlal, and then he let what happened to his wife happen. That's why there was the Galus in Mitzrayim. Okay, now in terms of the details of the story, the Ramban understands that Sarah did not accept to say that she was his sister. Not that she contradicted it, she would not go telling people that she was, that Avram was his brother. And the Mitzrayim just saw her, they saw she was pretty, so they took her to the king's house. They didn't ask if it was her brother or husband, they could care less, which is kind of like what Avram was afraid of. They just took her to Paro to be married to Paro without asking any questions. Paro asked, and he was told that it's his sister. Why? Because Avram was going around saying it's his sister. So in other words, Sarah didn't say, no, I'm not his sister. But she didn't say, I'm Yeh's sister. It all came from Avram. Avram went around saying that it was his sister, and therefore they gave him presents because he was he had said it was his sister. And that's why when Paro got the Negaim, so he complained only to Avram. Why didn't he complain to Sarah? Because Sarah never said it. He only complained to Avram because Avram is the one who said that it was his sister. And Sarah just was quiet. And he didn't have tainas on Sarah either for not saying, hey, no, it's my husband. Because he says that's right for, Paro understood, that's right for Nisha. She shouldn't, say her husband's wrong. She should just be quiet. So that's why Paro didn't have complaints about her. And the Ramban also says, though, that when Paro did get Negaim, it was b'schus both of them. In other words, the pasuk says, "Vayinaga Hashem es Paro Negaim gedolim es beiso al dvar Sarai eshes Avram." In other words, we know Sarai is eshes Avram. Why does it repeat eshes Avram? So the Ramban says it's because it was b'schus both of them, because she was Sarai and because she was eshes Avram. It's because b'schus the two of them that the Negaim came. Okay, then eventually they leave, and it says, "Avram vayal Avram imitraim huvish tov chol asherlo." So it says he left with his stuff. Why does it mention his stuff? It's to say that Paro did not take all the gifts that they gave to Avram when they thought it was his sister. They didn't take back. And that was an ace. Because you would think they would say, hey, this was all a big mistake. Give us back our stuff. They said, no, you take it. You keep it. And so that was an ace. Okay, then we have the battle of the four kings and the five kings. So the Ramban says that this was also a Maase Avos, similar bottom, that there would be four kings that would stand against Avram and his children, and they were all a remez to the four Goliuses, which is Babel, Parsomadai, Yavan, and Edom. So this was all a myself and the bottom to them. Each one was a remez to a different one. So Amraphel Melach Shinar was Babel, Elasar was Paras, Elam was Yavan, and Melach Goyim, the king of Goyim, that was Rome, because Rome was kind of like America. Well, not exactly like America, but the point is it was a bunch of states got together to make one king over them called Rome, as opposed to like just one homogenous country. This was like Rome was a bunch of states that got together to be Rome. So that's Melech Goyim. I didn't look up the history. I don't know if I learned this exactly right. Either it was Rome was a bunch of states together, or within the city of Rome, there were many people that would be closer to America, or, you know, like just a whole different bunch of people, different nations gathered in one place, whatever. You could look up the history if you like yourself. But the point is that Rome was a mix of peoples, either a mix of states, a mix of peoples, and it was one thing called Rome that was Melech Goyim. Okay, then we have the story of Sodom, of the king of Sodom. Now it says there were Be'eros, Chemar, there were these pits of, clay, mud, I don't know, something that was hard to get out of. So Rashi brings the Medrash that it was impossible, that somehow Melech Sodom got either fell in there, or got thrown in there, I don't know, whatever, however he got in there, and it was impossible for him to get out, and Hashem made an ace for him to get out. Why? Because there were some people that didn't believe that Avram was actually saved from a fiery furnace. So Hashem made this nace that the king of Sodom would be miraculously saved from a pit. And then everybody believed, oh, if that happened, then the story with Avram happened. So Ramban just asks what everybody who hears that guy is like, huh? What? Why? Why? If a miracle happens to an Ovid Avodah Zarah that makes you believe that the person who said Avodah Zarah is wrong also got saved? What? Like, why would that? You would think it would be the opposite. It would just be saying, oh, you see, Avodah Zarah is the true thing, because look, a miracle happened to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So how do we understand that? So the Ramban sounds like actually he's not sure how to explain it, but he says, ulai, that it means that when Avram walked past it, then an ace happened. In other words, it was
But Yetzi Melech Sdom Lekroso sounds like it was as Avram was walking past it, all of a sudden, boop, he miraculously pops out of there. So there it was clear, it was a nes done in honor of Avram, so then everyone would know it was that Nisim happened around Avram. Obviously, if a nes would happen in honor of Avram, certainly a nes would happen to Avram. Okay, then later on, this is in Perek Yadal at Pusik, Yudches, it says, Amaki Tzedek Melech Shalem, Hotzi Lechem V'yayin. So Maki Tzedek came and he brought out Lechem and Yayin, V'hu Kohen Lekel Elyon. So Rabban here explains what the words mean, Kel Elyon. This is important for us, I mean, in general, because it's learning Chumash, but also we say this in Davening, in the first Bracha of Shemone Esrei, where Pirush HaMilus is Ma'akev, we have to know what the words mean. What does it mean, Kel Elyon? So he says that a malach, or a heavenly force, is a, we know, is, you know, when we talk about a non-godly force, we say Elohim, means Elohim Acherim, right? It's some heavenly force that's not God. So Kel Elyon means the one who's in charge of all those forces, Hashem, who's the ultimate God. So the Kohanim of the Ovodei Avodah Zarah, they are a Kohen to heavenly powers. But Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, was a Kohen Lekel Elyon. He was a Kohen to Hashem, the most supreme power. Okay, and the next words are Kone Shemayim Vayvachir Vayomar Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon. Again, same thing. Kone Shemayim Var, it's also part of that, like that bracha, Kel Elyon Gamelchazin Tovim, the Kone Hakol. What does it mean to be Kone Hakol? What does the pasuk mean here? Kel Elyon Kone Shemayim Varetz. So Rashi says, Kone means makes, creates. Hashem is Kone Hakol, means he creates all. The Ramban just says, he doesn't think it means creates, but rather owns. Now, even though Kinyan usually means acquire, but which means you have to buy it from someone. Obviously, that's not the case with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it means owns. Means is zocha in. Kone Hakol means he owns all. Everything is his. Again, so either you have Rashi, which means creates all, or the Ramban that he owns all. Oh, it's all his. Okay, so then we have this Haftacha that Hashem promises Avram. And that is the beginning of Perek Tezvav. It says, Achar dvar me'ele hiryo ha-dvar Hashem al-Avram b'machzah le'mer, Al tir Avram, don't be afraid, Anochim b'gein lach, I'm going to protect you, Schar char b'yem od, you're going to have a lot of schar. And Avram's response is, what are you giving me if I'm going ariri and I have no children to yarshin me? Okay, so the Ramban explains that Avram wasn't questioning, you know, like, what kind of schar am I going to get if I don't have kids? Hashem said, Schar char b'yem od. Avram understood he doesn't need a haftacha that he's going to get schar in Olam Haba, because if he did, Mitzvos will get schar in Olam Haba. It was a different haftacha that he wanted. Because in Olam Hazeh, nobody gets guarantees, because, like the Ramban says, sometimes you have tzadikim shemagi aleim kamagse arashayim, like we say in Koheles. So that needed to be tachan. Something in this world would go well. So in other words, Hashem was promising them to give you schar harbe, which is something in this world, and especially harbe mo'od is mashma, this world too, like harbe mo'od, of course, the next world and this world. So that's why Avram was responding, oh, you're giving me a haftacha for a good life in this world too, so what's anything worth if I don't have a yorish, if I don't have any kids? Now, again, we can ask the question we dealt with before. Why does Hashem need to, why was Avram afraid of this? Why did he have to ask, oh, what about kids? What do you mean? Didn't he have a nevuah already, earlier, two parkim ago? That says he has kol ha'aretz asher ataru elecha tenana ulezaracha ad olam. And another, besamtia zaracha. Hashem already promised him he'd have kids. Was he asking, what's going to be, I don't have any kids? What do you mean? Hashem already promised you'd have kids. This is what we said before, that a nevuah, unless some sign was done to show it's true, in this world, the nevuah could go back. And if the person is not zocha anymore, maybe when the nevuah said they were zocha, and now they're not roi anymore, so the nevuah won't necessarily come true. So therefore, that's why he was asking that it should be promised to him in a way that it can't go back. It'll be for sure. Okay, and what is Hashem's response to him? He says, you will have a kid, and he took him outside, and Rashi brings a famous thing, say means taikninu shulcha, you saw in the mazalah, so you're not going to have a kid. That's Avram has no kids, but Avraham will have. Sarai won't have kids, but Sarah will. So, Question is, what do you mean Avram won't have kids? Guess what? Avram did have a kid. His name is Yishmael. So, right? Everybody thought of that. Avram had Yitzchak, but Avram had Yishmael. So what does he mean Avram won't have a kid? So Ramban says maybe it means Avram and Sarai together will not have a kid. Okay. Or perhaps he suggests that it means that he was talking about Yerusha. Avram won't have a kid who is Yerushim. Avraham will have a kid who is Yerushim because Avraham is going to have Yitzchak and that's when it's going to be Yerushim. Okay, then it says, V'hemin b'Hashem v'chshveh lo tzedakah. He trusted in Hashem and Hashem said, thought of that as a great mitzvah. So the Ramban doesn't understand, what's the big deal? This is a man who would sacrifice his son on an altar because God told him to do so. Like, why would he not believe, you know? Obviously, he believes what God, that a God is talking, that, you know, he believes in Hashem. What's the big deal? So he's saying that he believed that Hashem, Bitsidko, would give it to him. In other words, like he thought maybe originally when Hashem promised him he would have a kid, maybe afterwards, maybe at this point he had done averos, like Chazal said, that he was afraid because he killed all the people in the war. Maybe he wasn't zocheh to kids anymore. So, but when Hashem told it to him a second time, then he had trust that Hashem is wanting to do it and his chait won't get in the way, and that Hashem Bitzidko, no matter what, would give it to him, and that was the mitzvah. Okay, that's what I thought. I might be wrong in how I understood that. It could. But Yachshevelo Tzedaka could mean that he thought God would give it to him in Tzedaka. So, v'hem, in other words, not that it was a mitzvah, like Yachshevelo Tzedaka, like Rashi says, but that he believed that God would give it to him out of tzedakah, meaning since he had repeated himself and he said if he's going to do it, so he believed in God that he would do it for him as a tzedakah. Okay, now the next pasuk, the way the Ramban understands it, is Hashem says to him, I am Hashem who took you out of Ur Kasdim, which we know from Torah Shabbat Peah was Nisim, to give you this land. So now Avram, again, is afraid that maybe he'll be Yigra Machit, maybe his... Yet Hashem had just promised him about having kids, but maybe he wouldn't be Zocha, you know, maybe something would happen and the promise wouldn't come true, that he would sin later and then he wouldn't get it. So therefore, on that he asked, how do I know that it will happen? And therefore Hashem said, okay, we'll do a bris to make it that it'll happen no matter what. So again, it doesn't sound like from the Ramban that there was any chait here at all. The chait was the other stuff. And so they bring the karbanos. What do they bring? It is egla mishleshes, eil mishlesh, and torah and gozel. Okay, and this was the list. The reason these are the things. So these are the things that karbanos will come from. And the torah and the gozel refers to the ben yona. So these are the things that you could bring a carbon from. The cow, or a cow bull, the goat, the ram, and the Torah and the Gozel. Okay, but then he has this nevuah of the four Goliaths. And it says, Ema, Chashecha, Gedola, Nofela, Salav. These are the four Goliaths. That the Ema was Bava, the Chashecha was Madai, the Yavan was Gedola, Nofela, Salav was Edom. Means, in other words, it wasn't all one feeling. These were different feelings. First he had fear, then like darkness, then more darkness, then as if something very heavy fell on him. So that's Ema, Chashecha, Gedola, Nofela, Salav. It was different levels of what he felt based on what the four Goliaths would be. Okay, so Hashem tells them they'll go into Galus, and then they'll get out. Vegam and say, Anochi, but Hashem is going to punish the nation that did this to them. So now the Ramban discusses the question: why is the nation that does exactly what Hashem said should be done to them punished? Hashem said that the Jews were going to be enslaved in Egypt 400 years. So why is Hashem going to then kill the Mitzrim? Didn't they just do exactly what Hashem said they should do? Enslaved the Jews for 400 years. So the Ramban says, well, let's start with the Rambam. He brings the Rambam in Monervochim because Hashem didn't tell anybody in particular to do it, and therefore anyone who does it is guilty. Okay, anyway, the Ramban says, he disagrees strongly with that. Like if Hashem says to do so, Hashem says he wants something done, whoever does it then, you give him big yeshkayach, he did the mitzvah. Like why would that be a problem? It's not like Hashem didn't say who to do it and everybody should stay away. What do you mean? If there's a mitzvah to do, if Hashem wants something done, it's a great mitzvah to do it. So the Ramban says the issue with the mitzrim is, I don't know if they knew that Hashem had made that nevuah, but certainly there were times in history that the Goyim did know about the nevuah, like in the time of Babel, where he brings that example, where it was known, like the general of the Babylonians said stuff to them, that Hashem said this, and we're doing it, and okay, so sometimes it was known that there was a nevuah of something bad happening to Klal Yisrael, and they did it, so why did they get punished? Their answer is because that is not their kavanah. They are not trying to do a great mitzvah. They're trying to kill because they want to kill Jews, not because they said, oh, Hashem would like us to do this. No, that is not it. They're doing it because they just want to kill, or they want to conquer, or whatever. And they certainly did more. The mitzvah, for example, certainly did more. Hashem said to enslave the Jewish people, not to throw the kids in the river. That was just to wipe them out. So that you're not going to get any excuses for. And in general, if they would do it for the right reason, because they knew there was a nevuah, they were trying to be mekayim the nevuah Hashem, okay, that would be a mitzvah. But if they do it because they're bloodthirsty, then obviously that's going to be a big avera. And he says the same thing with Bavel, even though they said, yeah, we know about the nevuah, but that's not why they did it. They did it to conquer and to make their nation great and whatever, be evil. And of course, they did much more than Hashem had said should happen. And because of that, they're held responsible for all of that, and that's why Babel was wiped out. Okay, then it says, Dor Revi Yeshuvu Heina. So Rashi says, Dor Revi of the Jews, and the Ramban thinks it means Dor Revi of the Amorim. And the Amorim, did I say that right? Amorim. The Dor Revi of the Amorim, because Hashem is Pokein Avon Avos Al Banim Val Banim Vanim Al Shilashim Al Rebiim. So that's four generations, so if they won't do tshuva, Then they'll wipe out the Amori when they come back and take over. And what about had they done tshuva? What then would have been? Okay, so then they would be Lamas Ove, they'd be paying taxes to the Jews, or they'd leave, or whatever. Okay. The Ramban also just interesting points out during this Bris Bin Abasarim, and it says, Vinei Tanur Ashan Velapidesha Sher Avar Bin Agzarim, that what went between the cut animals, a tanur ashen and a lapidesh. She says that's the same anan from Matan Torah and the Eish that Hashem spoke from the Eish at Har Sinai. It's the same sign of Hashem. Okay. Ramban also points out Hashem promised Eretz Yisrael to Avram multiple times because each time there was something added. First time it was until he worked on Makom Shechem. Then when he had more Zchusim, it became the whole Tzaponav Negdov Akema V'yama. And then it was all the ten amamin, and then there was the bris that it would never be taken back. Okay, all that's why it was repeated so many times. Each time it had an extra chiddush. Okay, then we have the issue, the story of Yitzchak. So Sarah can't have kids. So she goes to, I shouldn't say Yitzchak, the story of Avram and Yitzchak, Avram and Sarah trying to have kids. So Sarai can't have kids. So she gives Hagar to Avram to have kids. So the pasuk says, Vayishma Avram lekol Sarai. So the Ramban is medayik from that it doesn't say that Sarah said, take my shefcha and have a kid with him. And Avram says, and it doesn't say Vayas Cain, it says Vayishma Avram lekol Sarai. It's trying to tell you that even though Avram wanted kids very badly, he never would have done this without Sarai saying, I want this. And his intention was not that this would be his kid and not Sarah's kid. He wasn't interested in building with Hagar. He wanted to do what Sarah wanted. Sarah wanted to have a child. In other words, Hagar was going to, through Hagar, it would be like her kid, because it was her shefcha. Or it would be a schus for her because she's like Chazal say that she's bringing a tzara into her house. So Avram was totally doing this for Sarah because Sarah was interested. She wanted it to have a kid that way, or it would be a schus that she'd have a kid. But it was Avram, although he wanted children very badly, he was doing this. He never would have done it without Sarai, and he He wasn't looking to have a family with Hagar. He wanted it with Sarai. So all his kavana was for Sarah. And then it says, Tikach Sarai Eshes Avram, that she's now referred to as the wife of Avram. So she stays his wife, meaning she's not giving up on him. She stays his wife. But she insists that Hagar become his wife, not a Pilegesh. She wants it to be like his wife. Why? For the covet of Avram, that he should have, it should be with, not a Pilegesh, it should be with, as if it's, it should be his wife. This is showing Sarah's tzidkus, that she didn't want anything negative to Avram. She wanted it to be a covet for him, so it should be like his wife. Okay, Lamaisa, it ended up being his Pilegesh, but Sarah wanted it to be his wife for Avram's covet. Okay. Then we have that it says after 10 years, that this whole story happened after 10 years. And it's the Sheves Avram Beretz Canaan. It was after 10 years of him being in Israel. Rashi brings because when you go into Israel, you get whatever happened to Chutzaritz is irrelevant because the Sheves Avram Beretz Canaan can help you. So it's only after living 10 years in Israel. That's when it was too much. The Ramban brings, some people understand that the whole din doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz, meaning if you live in Chutz La'aretz, you can live 50 years with a wife. There's no Indian to divorce her to take another wife to have kids. And the whole thing only applies in Israel. And the Ramban disagrees with that. And the Ramban says no, it applies anywhere. If the person's never leaving, they spend 10 years in Chutz La'aretz, or then they should get another wife or divorce their wife so that the two of them can have kids. But if they move to Israel, then the clock starts over, because then the Chus of Israel can help them. Just aga, for whatever reason, I don't know the halachas, but clearly the minig is not like this. I mean, it's in Eben Ezra, the siman about this. It's in Kuf Nun Dalad. The minig seems to be not that we know the Chazon Ish and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I don't know, Rav Hanoch Leibowitz, I'm just talking about recent people. Many gedolim who were married their whole lives, never had kids, and never got divorced or whatever. So the minig seems to be generally not like this. Okay. It says Vatayana Sarai v'tibrach mipana, that Sarai caused pain to Hagar, and so Hagar ran away. So the Ramban says this was a chait, and it was a chait Avram too by allowing this to happen, and because of that, they would Hagar had a kid who would be a para adam and cause tzaras to Klal Yisrael. But Hashem does tell Hagar that shuvi el gvirtech v'sani tachas yedeh, because we need a ma'aseh avasim l'banim, that eventually Yishmael would be under the rule of under the rule of Klal Yisrael. Okay, then we have in Perek Zayin it says ani kel shakai. So what does that name shakai mean? The Ramban says the shame shakai is the shame that's used for Nisim Nistarm. Like Yud Kei Vav Kei is for like Nisim that are, turn a chicken into a peacock. Whatever, like a total nace, like Yitzias Mitzrayim, like, splitting of the sea. That's the shame Yud Kei Vav Kei. Shame Shakai is for Nisim Nistarm. That is, if a person does mitzvahs and therefore good happens to them, or they do a veris and therefore bad it happens to them, that's an ace nister. It's not natural. So that's the shame Shakai. And it's specifically, it's the shame that's menatzeach the heavenly hosts. But it's al pi derech hateva. And nisim al pi derech hateva. So therefore, if Avram can't have kids, the shame kel shakai, that's the name you would say, would overcome the hosts in Shamayim, and then he could have a kid. So it's ani kel shakai, I am the ultimate power. I am shakai who does nisim nistarim and is... can change the mazel, and heye tamim, meaning that if you look in the mazelos, if you look in the astrology and you see something, you'll know it's irrelevant because Hashem overpowers that, and nothing matters. Hashem controls it all. Then by yipal Avram alpanav, the Ramban just says that's a lashon of getting ready for nevuah. So, whenever you see that, that's what it means, getting ready for nevuah. Okay, then we have that Avram is commanded to have the bris milah. Why? The Ramban offers a reason. What is the purpose of the mitzvah of bris milah? Because that is the aver that is associated with taiva and chait, So it has this bris to say that it show that it has to be used only for mitzvah or for mutter. That's the purpose. And he also says that it's the arla. It's called arel because it covers, and it's the only aver that is covered, meaning that it's got a piece of skin that when you remove it, now the aver is revealed. There's only one part of the body that has a piece of skin that if you remove it, it reveals the hidden aver, and that is the aver. So whenever you see arel, like Rashi says, we have to learn here, arel zachar, that it teaches you it's in the place that a zachar is different. That's how we learn it's boso aver. The Ramban says it means, arel means that because there's no other place you could mean it. There's only one aver where there's a skin covering it that you remove that it reveals the aver. And whenever you find it meaning something else, it'll say it. Like if it means arla slavavchem, it won't just say arla and you're supposed to figure out slavavchem, because an arel is one thing. When you want to borrow the phrase, you have to say arla slavavchem to say you mean something else. Okay, then when he hears the news that he can have a kid at 100 years old, so he's so happy, and he says, Halaben mea shana yivaleitz. The Ramban says a very interesting thing. He's like, what's the big deal that a ben shana can have a kid at 100 years old? He's like, old people can have kids. We know in our generation, right? I forgot that Rav in Eretz Yisrael who was 88 years old and had a kid. His name's escaping me right now. Everybody knows who had it. The Rav over there, the Rosh Yiva in Eretz Yisrael had a child. Is it Rav Krushelevsky? I don't remember. Someone had a kid at 88. Anyway, it's not an ace. A person can be very old and still have kids. Maybe it's not common, but a person could be old. That's what he says. B'nei tishim b'nei mea gam b'doros ha'ela. Meaning even in the Ramban's times, it's not impossible for a 90-year-old or a 100-year-old to have a kid. As if he's, it wouldn't be common, but it could happen. It would be an ace. Furthermore, and this is the interesting part, you know, he had other kids even way later than this. Nobody talks about that being an ace, because after he had Yitzchak, way later, he has kids with Keturah. So that was much later. No. So it's not such a big ace that a man could have kids later. So he said that a lady having kids so late, that's an ace, but a man, not so much. So he says that what it means is a 100-year-old man who is married to a 90-year-old lady and the two of them never had kids together and all of a sudden one day wake up having kids, that's an ace. Okay, so now, but when Avram hears this, he says, Vayom Avram el Elokim, lu yishmel yechiel lefanecha. What does that mean? So Rashi says it means halavai, the Yishmael should live. I'm not kedai to get such great schar. Ramban says, no, that's not what it means. It means Avram knew he thought he was only having one kid, because it says al zaracha etanana, right? There's only one. It sounds like he's only going to have one kid who yarshins him. The pasuk he quotes is asher yetim imecha hu yirashecha. Anyway, Avram thought he was having one kid. So, because that sounds like he'd have one who yarshin him. So he's now being told he's going to have a kid with Yitzchak. Then that if he's only having one kid, that means Yishmael has to die. So the Ramban understands the word lu means if. Lu Yishmael yichyel lefanecha. As long as, like, I only want this bracha if Yishmael is going to live. Okay, and Hashem says he will. Okay, then it also mentions that they did the bris milah immediately. Betzamei Yomazah, which the Ramban says means immediately, all that day. Betzamei Yomazah, the day he was in the tzave, he was mal. His whole household, all 318 people, right. And the Pasuk is telling you this to know that they were all Zerizim Makdim in the Mitzvahs.